pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you as always for this opportunity to come into your presence and for the love you show us in not only inviting us here, but delighting to be amongst us. I ask that you bless the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts. O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. If I speak in the tongues of men and angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And if I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. It's Transfiguration Sunday, as Father Ben said. I really like our collect for the day. It's the before his passion, God was delighted to reveal Jesus' glory on the mountain. Epiphany, this is the last Sunday of Epiphany. Epiphany just means something like revelation, to make known. This is the season where we celebrate Jesus, who we celebrated at Christmas, coming into the world, the incarnation. This is him being made known through his ministry. So it ends on Transfiguration Sunday, when his glory is revealed. Well, what I want to suggest is that his glory is not what we sometimes think it is. And what's revealed about him is something so much better than what we're inclined to see first. And a helpful way to approach that is with a question that's going to seem a little bit odd. Why did Moses wear a veil? So that's where I want to start. Why did Moses wear a veil? Our Exodus story, let me tell you sort of where we are in the broad sweep of Exodus. Moses has spent a bunch of time on the mountain with God. He's received the law. But he spent so much time on the mountain that the Israelites started to panic. And you have this famous story of them going to Aaron and saying, Aaron, we got to have some god to worship. And so they give him a bunch of gold, and Aaron makes for them a calf. And God on the mountain sees this and says, Moses, those people, I'm going to wipe them out. And Moses says, God, please don't wipe them out. That would look bad for you. And so Moses goes down, he breaks the stone tablets that God had written the law on, he yells at all of the Israelites, there's that great story. I just have to add this because this is one of the funniest lines in the entire Bible, where he confronts Aaron, and Aaron's like, I don't know what happened. I threw the gold in the fire. Calf just walked out. Not my fault. So Moses is furious. God is furious. And God says to Moses, fine, I won't wipe them out. You all go on to the land I promised you, but I'm not going with you. And Moses intercedes again and says, God, if you don't come with us, what's the point? And so God's like, fine, I'll come with you. Let's try this one more time. So he invites Moses up on the mountain. And it's when Moses comes back down from the mountain that second time, after all of this, that his face is glowing. Now, there are a couple of things to know here. First off, Moses is kind of unique in the entire Bible, and the Bible points this out. It says in Deuteronomy, when it's talking about Moses' death, that there was never anyone else like him who spoke with God face to face. Exodus 33, right before our passage, it actually even says this better. It says, "Thus the Lord used to speak to Moses face to face, as a man speaks with his friend." Moses had a very special relationship with God. He was the sort of person whose heart was so close to God that he could intercede on behalf of what God calls a stiff-necked people. And God was moved. So close to God that he spends time in prayer and communion with God, and his appearance is changed. And he's glowing. So why the veil? Well, there are a couple of things that it's not. It's pretty obvious that he's not wearing the veil because he's guilty or he has any reason to be ashamed. He's not wearing the veil out of humility. All of these things, if he was wearing a veil for any of these reasons, he'd put it on with God and take it off with the people. But he put it on with the people and took it off with God. So it's none of those things. So what is it? The story tells us that when the people saw him, he's glowing, and they were too scared to come close to him. He had a message to give them, but they were too scared to be near him. Moses had been spending time with God, had been transformed by spending time with God. And so people were responding to him the way we so often respond to God. Exodus 20. "Now when all the people saw the thunder and the flashes of lightning and the sound of the trumpet and the mountain shaking, the people were afraid. And they trembled and they stood far off and said to Moses, 'You speak to us and we'll listen, but do not let God speak to us or we'll die.'" Isaiah famously sees God and says, "Woe is me, for I am lost. For I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." He's terrified. Or Job, after God comes and confronts him, he says, "I have heard you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eyes see you. Therefore I despise myself and repent in dust ashes, because when regular old humans see God, they can't help but recognize they are not worthy to see God. He is good and pure, holy, and we are very not. And so they respond with fear. This is how people respond even when they see angels. It's why the most common first word of every angel is, "Don't be afraid." Because that's the normal response. And now Moses is glowing. He has been transformed by his relationship with God, and the people are scared of him too. And so he puts on a veil for their sake. He puts on a veil so they don't have to be afraid, so that they can come to him. So So now we go to the Transfiguration. Here we have another person glowing on a mountain. This time it's Jesus. And the response from these are probably Jesus' best friends. Whenever he does anything with a small group of his disciples, these are the three he takes. First off, they're confused. The Bible says, yeah, they didn't know what, Peter didn't know what he was saying. He said, let me build some tents. He doesn't know what he's saying. He's really confused. And there's a cloud. The cloud is, in the Old Testament, this is the kavod Adonai, the glory of the Lord. It's always a cloud. And he's afraid. There's Jesus glowing as he talks to Moses and Elijah, and people are afraid. So now I think that we can go out on a limb here. It's a very sturdy limb. And say that the Son's relationship to the Father is probably closer than Moses' relationship with God. Can we agree with that? So why doesn't he always glow? Moses spent time with God and he was glowing. Jesus spends time with God. He's constantly praying. At one point when he prays, he's like, you know, God, I know that you hear me when I pray. I say this for their benefit. He just has confidence. God is with him. He's right there with God. In John, he says, I want you to, your relationship with me to be like my relationship with the Father. We're one. The Son and the Father are one. Why doesn't he always glow? And I think that is the message of the Transfiguration. Jesus could glow all the time if that's what he wanted. But he doesn't. The Transfiguration points out all of the rest of the time when he doesn't glow. And I think he doesn't glow for the same reason that Moses wore a veil. The people saw Moses and were too afraid to come near to him. He had a message for them from God, and they were too afraid to approach him. I think that if we look at our own experience, if we look into our own hearts, we can imagine what it would be like in the first century if we were living in Israel, and this guy showed up who was constantly glowing and talking about God. I would be terrified. I would not go out to see what he said. And if, as I approached him, I was confronted with that experience that everybody else experienced when they're confronted with the holiness of God, just confronted with their own unworthiness in his presence, I'd hide. But Jesus had good news to share with the people. How could he share it if they were too scared to come near him? Moses wore a veil. Jesus' entire life was a veil that he put on for our benefit so that we could draw near to him and not be afraid, so that he could tell us about his love, about his desire to save us. So what's revealed at the Transfiguration is the humility of Jesus to not look like that all the time. I agree with Father Ben. It was an odd choice of the lectionary to have us work through 1 Corinthians and then skip the most famous chapter of 1 Corinthians. But I think it makes sense to include that chapter here. If I speak in the tongues of men and angels, but have not love, I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. Jesus could speak in the tongues of men and angels. All of the stories of the gospel show us the power that Jesus has is not limited by any of those tiny little things like language. But Jesus is loving. And so he comes to us in humility. He doesn't want to scare us away. If I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. Again, Jesus, all of his miracles, phenomenal power. But he's loving. He could have shown up so as to reveal his phenomenal power. Again, glowing man coming into town with an army of angels. Very impressive, very powerful. But that's not what he does. Because Jesus has love for his people. And he doesn't want to scare them off. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. Even coming down from heaven in glory is a step down from sitting at the right hand of God. But Jesus doesn't stop there. He empties himself, as Paul says, because he has love. Paul calls this a better way. He's finishing his discussion of the spiritual gifts. He says there are lots of different spiritual gifts. There are people who are called to do all sorts of things. Let me show you a better way. Let me show you about how it's better to be loving than to be a prophet, than to be a teacher, than to be any of the other gifted sorts of people he mentions. It's better to be loving. And he can say that because that's exactly what Jesus showed us. It is better to be loving than to be impressive, like on the mountain. It is better to be loving. So the question is, for all of us, are we willing to follow Jesus in the way that he's shown us? Do we also agree it's better to be loving? It's the temptations abound. We want to make sure, well, yes, I'm a good person, but does it really matter if I'm a good person, if everybody doesn't know I'm a good person? And so, you know, we talk to our friends like, oh, yes, let me tell you about the people that I've helped and the charity that I've done. That's a temptation. Do we recognize that it's better to be loving even than it is to be known to be loving? It's better to be loving than to be recognized in our community, applauded by our friends. It's better to be loving. Jesus could have always glowed. He could have always let people know how holy he was, what his relationship with God was like. He could have awestruck them, but it was better to be loving and to reach out to them. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are unworthy to be in your presence. But you come to us. You reach out to us to raise us up. Help us so to receive the love that you offer that we might be transformed by it and love like you love. We ask this in the blessed name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.